Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gabaza, and for today, we are going to be talking about some of the major trends and topics that are driving South Africa's economy and the financial markets. It's no secret that at the time that we're recording, there's a lot of turmoil in global markets right now. The word on everyone's lips is tariffs, but there's also a lot more other factors that are inside there. And then, so that's the conversation that we're going to be having. Joining us today in studio is MJ Givens Khasi, who is an analyst at Global Broker Okta, and we're going to get some insight into what's happening in the forex landscape, the rise of AI in trading, and how the psychology behind smart investing is shaping the trading landscape in 2025, especially for South African forex and crypto traders. MJ, greetings to you today.
Thank you so much for having me, and good morning, and good morning to all the listeners.
All right. So, a person like me who sits in this space, I have an idea of what Okta is.
Yeah.
But maybe you could give us an elevator pitch for the uninitiated, just so that they understand the, your world and where you're coming from.
Yeah. So, Okta is an online broker. It's also a CFD broker, offering different types of financial services to professional and retail clients worldwide. It's formerly known as OctaFX, but it's now called Okta, right? The reason why is that FX, merely most people think it's representing forex.
Yes,
and
yes,
it's not only about that, because we also offer various types of instruments, not only FX, but indices, commodity shares, and crypto markets. So that's basically what we are. We are multi-regulated, but in South Africa, we are regulated by the FSCA.
All right. So let's get into the present day. You would have heard at the beginning, we are talking in the first week of the so-called Trump tariffs.
Yep.
That's been shaping a lot of global markets right now. But outside of that, we've been in this post-COVID recovery, interest rate cutting cycle in many parts of the world. The rand had been doing decently well up until
recently.
Yeah. So with all of that, we've seen all of that volatility over the last couple of months. From your perspective, how should South African traders position themselves in such an unpredictable environment?
Well, we have to look at it this way. There are a lot of factors into this. I mean, currently, like you said, everyone can be talking about tariffs, right? But I think, depending on the level of experience you have in the financial markets, one would say this is relatively scary. I mean, we are not used to such kind of volatility in a short space of time, right? I mean, in the morning, I woke up and I just looked at the markets. I looked at Euro, USD up by 1.5% before London session could even open.
Yeah.
And it tells you something. I mean, by the time you wake up, you want to trade, the train is already gone. And how do you take advantage of that, right? Yeah. But I got to say that this volatility as well is offering a wide opportunity for, a lot of traders out there, depending on the level of experience and how you are going to approach and try to maximize profits out of this, right? But in my opinion, I would say at this point, given the volatility, we need to adapt and have this wait and see approach, right? Don't find yourself caught on the wrong side. And that's what is happening right now globally. Everyone is caught on the wrong side of the direction, and they want to know where we are squeezed now, where can we come out? And when you mention tariffs, as a trader, you are thinking of, fine, three things that I can think of at the back of my head. I'm thinking of depreciation of the emerging markets like your ZAR. I'm thinking of inflation pressures. I'm thinking of high borrowing costs and how does that affect my economy? And as a trader, how can I position myself to take advantage of this, right? But I also gotta say that before this volatility we saw, I mean, if we look at election cycle, especially in South Africa, we had our own elections and we saw how the rand was performing. And in my analytical mindset, I'm thinking the rand didn't merely perform bad during our elections. I mean, with the formation of the government of national unity, one would think, okay, maybe we can expect something to go on there, but I think we're just finding a consolidation as far as USDs is concerned, around 18 rand 10 cents, 18 rand 30 cents. But what was interesting is that we had US elections, by the way, last year.
Yeah. And yeah.
You know, Trump is always interesting, right? I normally say if you want volatility in the markets...
let him open his mouth.
Exactly, exactly. Or let him write something on Twitter, then you're going to have that volatility, right? You had those elections, and it was quite interesting because before he even won the elections, we could see how the US dollar was also performing. I think strength was coming in. On the day he was announced as a US president, we saw the USDs are up by 1%. Yeah. We saw the crypto market as well. Quite interesting that the crypto market was in the blues.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we're not used to. Why is that, right? We know that in his first term, he was against crypto.
Mm. But now he has a coin.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So he came in the second term and said, I'm a pro crypto. Let's maybe see we can form the CBD, which is the central banking digital assets, right? And see how we can adopt crypto and make it a new thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the crypto market. But during that time, again, volatility was there, but it took one to understand what are the dynamics of the markets. Once the market is volatile, how do you take advantage of that? Are you going to invest long term? Or you're going to take intraday setups, right? Which is, I'm in here, I'm out there. I'm scalping the markets. And that's one thing that we should also appreciate about where we are coming from as Okta, because we are a contract for difference platform where you can take advantage of that. You can simply be in the market for 30 minutes, look at that volatility in and out, put your stop loss and your TP, depending on how you're going to analyze. And yeah, just take advantage of that. So there is a lot. For me, it's not only about tariffs. I can just think of a lot of things that led us to where we are right now. Rand volatility, again, the uncertainty, you know, amid local political shifts, we saw with the budget speech. We had two budget speeches,
yes,
and again, the first one when it was postponed to look at an exotic pair like a ZAR, a USD. And what I mean by exotic is it's a pair that is not mostly traded. Like euro dollar, right? Down by 1% on the day, again, for exotic pair, it's not bad, right? Then you go into the second budget speech. Same thing. There was not much going on. And we have to factor this that the dollar has been strong lately.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, you know, all of that, what you call this, those are marginal losses in the greater scheme of things. A 1% here, 1% there. Is that US dollar strength driven, do you think? Or, you know, were some of the domestic factors actually playing a role in some of that weakness?
I would say that it will, most of it will come from the performance of the US dollar. Okay. And I'll tell you why. Because I compared... after the budget announcement, I compared the performance of euro dollar and USD ZAR. And euro was fairly down also. Then it shows you again, there was a significant strength coming from the USD. So I think, yes, domestically, so there was a bit of influence, but not really much.
All right.
Not really much.
You know, one of the things that tends to happen in periods of volatility is that investors, because every investor takes a view.
Yeah.
Right. I can definitely say that if I was a trader, I would find it very hard to take, you know, some of the short term positions.
Yeah.
I can imagine sitting and watching, like, you know, the pips as they go, you know, let's say because in certain cases you can do a 30 minutes, like what you said.
Yeah.
Some platforms allow you to even do, I think, 10 minutes, 1 minute.
1 second is also
30 seconds, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, you know, that's the type of thing that would, I would be pulling out my hair. I think I'm more suited personally to, you know, having a position and just letting it sit for a long time.
Yeah.
But that's not the mindset of a lot of traders, right?
Yeah.
So right now, how do you think, from a mindset point of view, you know, traders can be helping themselves out there? You mentioned something just now about a wait and see approach.
Yep.
But volatility, people tend to panic.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
a lot. Yeah. What type of emotional discipline, you know, do people in the markets need, you know, right now?
I think it goes back to the psychological mindset you need as a trader, right? And I respect what you are saying. I mean, you are saying the market is just moving up and down. And you're like, I want some of it, right? How do I position myself in such a way? I think psychology in trading is very important, by the way, because you need to understand one thing. I always say that before you are a trader, you are an entrepreneur, right? Because you are mainly in the markets to make money. You want to profit out of it. But I always say, if you understand that this is a business is not required to profit every day. It's a matter of, I mean, if let's say I'm running a shop, I don't have clients coming in a day. I cannot go and force clients to come in and, buy from my shelves. It's just one of those slow days, right? So I think you just need to have a different approach in regards to this, that, look, it's a business and you need to take it as a business, respect it as a business. And try to also understand yourself first before you can even think about, okay, fine, what am I going to do in the markets? Discipline starts with you. You have to know your own weaknesses as a human being before anything, right? We are having a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in South Africa, brilliant minds, but they don't have that discipline. So it's not only in trading. It's in general that if you don't have a certain mindset to run something, somewhere, somehow you're going to mess it up. So I would say find ways in which you are going to understand yourself as a trader. The fear of missing out, they normally call it FOMO. you're fearing that
is dangerous.
Very dangerous, right? You are also having what we call external distractions. In this day and age, I remember when I started trading, social media was not this popular. So you couldn't go on any social media platform where you can get like, besides the fact that you are having pressure from the volatility, Instagram is buzzing with news. Everyone is talking about this is something that we can look into. You know? So you need to find a way to keep silence to the external distraction, which is the noise, right? Understanding the purpose of if you're going to put money into a broker, of course, Okta, right? You're going to think, what am I going to achieve with this money? Is it a long-term approach? Is it a short-term approach? And even if it's long-term, there has to be rules and regulations set by who? You as a trader, you as an entrepreneur. Why? You're telling yourself, I'm going to put a 6 months investment into their account. I'm not going to touch this money in 6 months. Then put your position and don't look at even the market. Let it do what it has to do. If it's a short-term approach, again, have your own rules, have your own regulations to say, I'm going to be put on this price and I'm going to exit at this price. And this is where artificial intelligence come in now and sort of reduces a lot of human error and human emotions into trading.
All right.
So discipline is everything in trading more than anything.
Before I touch on, that point around AI, because I think there's probably a lot to be said there. Curious, as someone who's, been in the markets for some time.
Yeah.
Do you find that how do you find discipline? Do you think professional traders are better disciplined than your normal retail investors in terms of just being able to exercise that that ability to say, you know what, I can see what the chart is doing, but I'm just going to either ignore it or just take note of it and just continue with what I'm doing?
I think, look, professionals are also human beings.
Yes.
More than anything, right? Yeah. I'm thinking of instrumentation. And what do I mean? You cannot, no matter how disciplined you are, sometimes you can be disciplined and consistent in wrong things. A thief is also consistent. I mean, if you are making money out of stealing every day, you're consistent in stealing. So you're consistent. Yes, you are consistent. You are disciplined. That once I steal money, I'm not going to tell anybody. Once I steal money, I'm not going to put it on social media. You're still disciplined. You're still consistent. But you're consistent and disciplined in wrong things. So even as traders, as professionals, what makes them better, I think, is the power of instrumentation. And I'm thinking of aviation. A pilot will never get off the ground until he will understand what his tools are saying to him. So he will have a checklist. You cannot be 37 feet above the sky and that's when you say, let's have a look at the checklist. By that time, it's too late. And I think that's why professional traders are coming off as better because they believe so much in instrumentations. Their losses are not getting into their heads. And by the way, their budget is way higher than a normal person who's just making a normal deposit because they run big portfolios, right? So they know I'm managing this for 12 months. I'm still getting my salary. As opposed to MJ coming in and just putting a deposit, $100 deposit. I want to pay rent. I want to pay for my finance. I want to pay for my insurance with that $100. Then that makes me now attract unnecessary behavior. So I think it's all about resources and instrumentation at the end of the day. That's why, hence, I said earlier on, even you as a retail trader, it is important to have rules and regulations that you don't go against and always have somebody maybe that can hold you accountable. But when you mess up, the person is going to say, look, you've messed up on this. We are looking at your progress for the whole month. And this is where you've been making mistakes. And that's where journaling comes in. Record everything. If you look at somebody who's selling, so I'm so fascinated about business in general. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. If you look at a person that is selling tomatoes on the streets, you would find that their admin is better than a trader. Because for every tomato that is sold, it's written.
Been written down.
Exactly. How do I profit from it? Did I make a loss? So traders, they don't have that spirit of administration and they cannot see where they get it wrong. And that is why it's important to also take advantage of educational programs that are out there. We as Okta, we offer that, right? Not only giving you market analysis, but we also give you some psychological content that you can always consume and see how you can grow from there. So I think it's resource-based and instrumentation.
All right. Let's maybe get into some of that instrumentation, right? Because as someone who does what I do, right, what I tend to look at the most on a day-to-day is equities. Right. And it's very true. The tools that you have at your disposal can, either put you ahead. Or put you behind. Even if it's just coverage, as what we do, so the tools that you have in front of you, sometimes the tools can be, prohibitively expensive. Some of the tools that are out there, with the best information, databases, et cetera, it can cost a lot of money. But nowadays, a lot of people are turning to, things like AI. To actually help them with some of their, trading strategies and that type of thing. How do you see AI having shaped, what you call this, the market and how people are strategizing their trades at the moment?
Well, the minute you mention artificial intelligence in trading, you're thinking of speed, you're thinking of efficiency, you're thinking of precision. If you look at in our world, market sentiment analysis was something that was difficult to do back then. You have to go through different types of articles to figure out fundamentally, where am I as a trader? Is it tariffs? Is it economic cycle? Is it election cycle? What is causing this? But with the help of AI these days, speed again. I don't know if you saw that. When Bitcoin was trading at 89,000, 90,000, a lot of people wanted to jump on the winning streak, which was from 90,000 to 100,000. But they did not know where to get information in a short space of time. And that's where use of AI comes in. Market sentiment analysis, where you can simply go on ChatGPT, for example, and say, look, I'm looking at buying WTI at $59 a barrel. But I'm not really sure fundamentally what's happening. Give me the latest news. And there it is. So it's giving you the news, interpreting and analyzing. But at the end of the day, you as well as a trader, there must be a sort of interpretation from yourself. All right. So this technology, remember, it was only given to institutional players. If we are going to be honest about it, I mean, your institutional guys, they had access to this. I mean, there's something in our world called the COT data, which is the commitment of traders.
Yeah.
You want to see what non-commercial companies are doing and what commercial companies are doing. Right? Yeah. So commercial companies, they're in the market not to profit from it.
Mm.
But non-commercial companies, these are hedge funds, money managers, your big banks.
Mm.
They actually want to profit from the market.
Yeah.
So there will always be a bit of manipulation, lack of a better way. The manipulation will always be there. But you want to see how are they performing? Contracts that are set, whether bullish or bearish.
Mm.
The spread that is on that, because if you understand the dynamics of the spread when it comes to COT, you would know that the spread represents them hedging. So they're buying and selling at the same time. Why? Because they want to figure out direction.
Yeah.
Where is the money at? It's very difficult to interpret that data with the naked eye.
Mm.
But believe you me, go on ChatGPT now and say, analyze for me the latest COT data on WTI. What are hedge funds and money managers doing?
Yeah.
You get on the information in a short space of time. Mm. So that's the power that AI, I mean, it has changed the way my portfolio is fairly looking good because of the help of AI. Yeah. I don't have to sit the whole day, read about things, right? Yeah. If you also look at it in this way, algorithmic trading and automation, again, you as a human being might not be filled at the price you want to be filled at when the market is too volatile.
Mm.
Yeah, you want to be filled at $59.90. By the time you want to come in, it's already on $60 a barrel. You are late. But with the help of AI, fast executions, right? So we appreciate the speed in which it comes in. But overall, I would say, let's rather have a hybrid approach where we're going to use AI, but also allow ourselves as human. Because AI, at the end of the day, yes, it's machine learning, but it was created by a human being.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you're saying that, because I was going to say one of the, biggest criticisms around AI is that it doesn't always plug knowledge gaps.
Yeah.
It gives you access to knowledge quicker,
but
you must be in a place where you can discern whether the output that's been given to you by the AI actually makes sense, right? You've been in the market for some time, so you can take the output and be like, this is...
especially lately, you know, I was just looking at the prompts I've been putting. No. There's some output we get there, you fairly see that something is not right. So you need experience, you also need knowledge.
Okay, cool. One of the most interesting things when it comes to the world of trading right now, and I'm just keen to get your thoughts, is from what you can see, where is the action in South Africa? And when I say where's the action in South Africa, I mean in South Africa, who's trading? Is it everyone? Is it young people? Because I think it lends itself a lot to everything that you've been talking about since the beginning. The discipline, going out and getting the knowledge, you know, the people that are perhaps doing this on the side versus people that are saying, okay, fine, I'm doing this because I want to maybe put food on the table. What are some of the trends you're seeing there?
I think we're seeing, after COVID, we've seen a serious increase in... you know, a lot of people trying to get relatively involved in trading. I mean, the stats shows that crypto alone, we have like, if I'm not mistaken, 15% of the population of South Africa, 15%, they've actively been involved in crypto.
That's a huge number.
So the thing is, in this industry, there's no consistency. It's I want to come in and see how much I can make. And there's a lot of scamming, obviously, that comes with it. I mean, the young guys are always coming with nice rides, you know, showcasing nice houses to say, look, this thing can really change your life. But once you get inside, you realize that this is one of the toughest things you can ever do for yourself, right? And that's when knowledge again comes in and education again comes in. So we have been seeing a relative increase in demand, but we are now seeing that the demand is slowly declining because of the results people are getting. I mean, a lot of people are being scammed. Believe you me, stats shows that 82% of traders, and I'm talking about traders, whether you are a beginner, you are a trader, right? 82% of Forex traders in South Africa, they have been scammed. That's also a high number. It's concerning.
Yeah.
So you see why there is a decline, right? But again, I think that's where we come in as well as a broker to try to fill the gap, to provide as much education as possible, try to also partner with the various stakeholders and regulatory boards like the FSCA or SARS. We try to give up because if you look at the whole regulatory framework in South Africa, for example, let's say the FSCA, you would see that they are really trying, but in my opinion, under-resourced.
Okay.
And that's where we can come in because it's one thing to say you are not doing a good job, but the question is, as a company, what are you doing? So we come in and fill the gap, educate people about the importance of paying tax, the importance of using a broker that is regulated. You know, see all the what is required as a trader, be all the time informed, you know. So yeah, the decline is there, but I think with what we are doing now, I'm hopeful that maybe by next year we can see a turnaround and we can hopefully, I mean, the unemployment rate in South Africa is high.
So it's understandable.
It's understandable, right? You asked me a question off camera about where I was working before, and I was just telling you that I used to work for a certain company before that I quit in 8 months. Would you ask me that question today and say, MJ, would you do it again? I would say absolutely not. Right, because that's where now you start realizing that you learn things as you go, right? And I think trading has offered, you know, a lot of opportunities for people out there.
Out of interest, how long have you been trading?
10 years plus.
10 years plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 years plus.
All right.
Yeah.
And 10 years, I'm actually just thinking to myself, that's a lot of ups and downs in the market that you've probably had to, what you call this, enjoy and go through and all of that stuff.
I think my wife will be in a better place to explain the journey, right? Yeah. There's been a lot of broken laptops, broken windows, obviously with anger, and so it's been a rough journey. And what made it to be like that is I always believe that input always determine output. So the information I was getting, you know, about how this thing can change my life, and I'm 2 years in, my parents are still asking me,
what's happening?
Nothing's going on in your life, brother. What's going on? You said you are going to trade and we took you to school for other things and you're doing something that is quite different. That can really affect you as a human being. But I think it's purpose again. Why are you actively involved in the markets?
Yeah.
You tend to love it with its ups and downs, like any other business. People must understand, and traders that are struggling even now, they must understand that they are writing a story. They are writing a story. That season is some way, somehow, if you do the right thing, being again consistent in doing the right thing, disciplined in the right thing, you definitely see the light at the end of the tunnel. Surround yourself also with you know, people that are doing what you do. I mean, I have a mentor that I've been looking up to on TV when I was growing up. I'm sure you know him, Simon Brown. I've been looking up to him, and I finally got to a place where I can do interviews with him. I can ask him about certain questions, and it has also improved how I see trading, how I see investment, and how I can be analytical about things, right? So again, you need to surround yourself, being in an environment that is giving you that juice to push you, right? Not in an environment where you're going to be discouraged. I mean, if you are called a Forex trader in South Africa, it's difficult to tell your family members in December in the family gathering that you're a Forex trader, right?
Yeah, because they think you have more than you probably do.
Exactly. So you always keep it low key. And, I think at the end of the day, we just need to be as informed as possible and go through the journey. And sometimes it is okay to take a break.
All right.
Yeah, it's very important to take a break, reflect on where you are making mistakes.
All right.
And remember again, you cannot be in charge of what the government does. You cannot be in charge of what the Federal Reserve does. You cannot be in charge of what the South African Reserve Bank is doing. So some things why maybe you're experiencing losses. It's external issues that you're not in control of. You just need to know how to respond to that.
All right. And I'm actually glad that you made mention of that fact that, honestly speaking, for anyone in the markets, and it's not only on the currency side, it's literally, you know, across the board, whatever, you know, instrument you're trading, there are just certain, in economics, we call them externalities, certain things that just happen, it's out of your control.
Yeah.
And that's just, if it wakes up today and it's raining outside, that was out of your control. Mm. You could not have done anything about it. However, you could have just made sure that your roof doesn't leak in your house. type of thing. Two things before we let you go, MJ. Yeah. Firstly, I like the fact that, you know, we got to understand a little bit about your journey in the space.
Yeah.
But right now, when it comes to being an analyst, right, on a day-to-day, you don't have to take us through the whole day, right? But what are the things that you're keeping an eye on that keep you sharp? Because through this conversation, you were telling us about, you know, the volatility, some of the tools that people have, AI, etc. But how are you on a day-to-day just making sure that you're keeping up with what's happening in the market, staying abreast, and, you know, just, you know, being an analyst?
So what I do is, look, fundamentally, I have to be aware of what is happening, you know, understand my fundamentals. Mm. And by that, I mean, read a lot of news, what is currently trending, right? And take that picture of, okay, fine, I understand, for example, it's tariffs now.
Yeah.
You need to ask yourself, if it's tariffs, why are we finding a certain thing behaving in a certain way?
Yeah.
Try to interpret that.
Yeah.
And order flow management, which is what a non-commercial company is also doing. I'm sure you've seen Tesla stock.
Mm. They've gone through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a tough one, right? But what was people saying? Elon Musk is going through a lot. I mean, Elon Musk is only 12% of that. Not all of it. But what was the big guys doing? I mean, you look at BlackRock as an institution. You look at Vanguard. They are also part of Tesla.
Yeah.
But believe you me, they were also dumping the stock, their own stock.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to understand things on the fundamental side as an analyst, but you also need to understand what is happening in the order flow management, what hedge funds and money managers are doing, not commercial companies, right? So I normally try to familiarize myself with fundamentals, order flow ones, the order flow management and sentiments. I want to know again, what are people doing? Because in my opinion, the more you are having millions of people buying one thing, chances are it's going to drop. Because for every buyer, there must be a seller. Think about it. When we reach 100,000 on Bitcoin, how many people jumped in? A lot. Look at where it is now, around 80,000. Right? So I familiarize myself with that. Could this be a bull trap or a bear trap?
Yeah.
Right. Fundamentally, I know order flow. I know technically, again.
Yeah.
I need to sometimes look at the charts. Someone once told me that I was not aware that you look at the charts because you're an analyst. I'm like, being an analyst by looking at the charts, it's also part of my work because I need interpretation of all the data that I get.
All right. I think that gives us a sense of what's going on in your world. And maybe, you know, some practical tips for some people that may be out there thinking about how they are trading, some of their strategies, how to keep up the info with the information flows. I can only imagine, as I said, I sort of relate because on a day to day, we start off at 7 a.m. As soon as the stock exchange news service starts rolling, we are there, you know, just watching from a coverage point of view. So to wrap up, MJ, what's your outlook? You know, when it comes to traders, for South African traders in the coming months, what advice would you give to those looking to grow and maybe future proof some of their strategies?
I think this is a time where maybe one could, you know, like I said before when you started with the interview, wait and see approach. Wait for the markets to give you something to bite. Don't jump in because of you are seeing something go somewhere, right? And during this time, backtest your strategies. You might find that the problem is not your strategies. The problem now is the cycle where we are in.
Yeah.
And believe you me, after all this volatility, I think the market is fairly going to correct. And once we find correct, consolidation levels, you find that your strategy will still work. So don't give up on that strategy as yet. Maybe backtest how it performs during volatility times like now, because that's one thing we are good at as traders. The minute you lose a trade, you want to change the strategy, you know?
Yeah.
And get your risk management right more than anything. I always say trading is not only about winning trades. You can win 5 trades and lose 5 trades and still be profitable. Risk reward, risk analysis. If I'm willing to gain 100 rand from a trade, I must be willing to lose 50 rand. That's 1:2 risk reward. Then it's not really about how many times I win a trade. I'm just focusing on risk management. And I think, again, you can apply AI for that to help you, especially if you don't know. Because there are patterns that you cannot recognize in the market, sometimes with the naked eye. And AI can give you that, like, where do you think I can put my stop loss? It will suggest. It will never tell you. What I like was about AI, it will tell you, I'm not your financial advisor. Right. Yeah. So, but it will suggest certain price points where you can take your TP and how you can, like you said, you need a roof. When it's raining, you need a roof, right? How can I put my stop loss and cover myself? How can I reassess my exposure in this market, right? I would say just backtest the strategy. Don't change it as yet. And take it a day at a time. Sometimes be on the sideline and get education. Yeah. And you know, education doesn't need to be formal. We have webinars, free webinars, by the way, that you can also go on our YouTube channel, go on our website and check educational content that we have. I'm also a live streamer. I stream on YouTube on almost every day if I'm not busy, right? And we gather as a community and I give as much education as possible. Again, the program is sponsored by Okta. So we are trying to give people as much education as possible and try to also assist them to interpret that information, because it's one thing to consume it and you cannot interpret it. And that's why we are there.
All right. So that's how we land today's conversation. It has been a great one, just understanding what's happening, in the markets right now. And, you know, some of the things that people can think about, when it comes to the evolving Forex landscape, the rise of AI in trading, and how the psychology behind smart investing is shaping the trading landscape in 2025, especially for South African Forex and crypto traders. Some of the big takeaways from today, MJ just highlighting some of the volatility that is sitting in the market right now. He was just obviously, tariffs are a big thing, and there's a lot of other things that are happening, whether it's interest rates, giving us some of his own thought processes when things are happening. I think the example that he gave just now is, you can have a certain policy decision or policy announcement, but one of the things that he says he asks himself is, yes, something has happened, but why does a certain action or why does a certain effect go in the direction that it does? And that's a big part of how he spends his day, just trying to understand what's causing the market to move in the direction that it is. What are the big people, in the industry doing, and how is that shaping some of the sentiment in the rest of the market? Now, I'm also giving us a sense of what's happening when it comes to the currency space. You know, what is a typical currency pair? What is an exotic pair? How he uses, trade amongst some of those currency pairs to sort of understand what's happening in the markets. I think he gave the example around the US US dollar versus the rand, during the first not budget speech and then the second and then the actual budget speech, and how you compare and contrast some of that. Also getting into what he calls instrumentation, which is basically the tools that traders have in front of them at their disposal. How do you keep yourself informed? How do you make your decision, making power? A lot of the best tools have tended to be reserved for people that have money, or your more institutional type of investors that have the swath of information in front of them, whether it's digital databases or just a team of analysts. They tend to have access to that. And he was just talking about how AI is helping to plug, you know, some of those gaps for, you know, the ordinary people. But he's an advocate to say people should go out and get that knowledge for themselves, because you can't always rely on the AI. The AI can get certain things wrong. And I think he also mentioned just now that the AI will never tell you where to put your stop loss and stuff like that. It will merely suggest.
Yeah.
And the final decision is up to you. So you actually need to know what you're doing. So you need to get into that culture of, you know, either consuming the news, consuming webinars, reading books, understanding the markets. And then the last thing I'll mention that he mentioned is journaling. He said it's always good just to keep track of trades, you know, what worked, what didn't work, and then help to evolve your strategy from there. So that's been it for today's discussion. It has been a great one. We were in a conversation with MJ Givens Khasi, who is an analyst over at Okta. Thank you so much for sharing your insights, and we look forward to having you again. Thank you so much, MJ.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. This has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.